following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities' number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Victoria and Zaretska, you know, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? Think Midway.com.
No. I don't think that's just it's minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one.
Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show.
Hey, good morning, everyone. Welcome to another edition of the Doug and Daddy Show here on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. I'm in Kennesaw. Randy Bushcutter is in the studio. It is district track, and you put on a cape and some wings, and you can play Superman today. The wind is howling all over the place, and that is going to make it a little tricky for all the tracksters out there. And we are going to be talking track on today's Doug and Daddy Show. In a moment, UNK head coach Brady Bonsall, they're getting ready to head out to Michigan and Grand Valley State for the D2 Outdoor Nationals. We'll also talk with Kearney Catholic coach Dwayne Schmidt. The B and C meets are tomorrow. They'll be up at the B5 at Broken Bow, and we'll be there tomorrow giving you reports. We'll have updates on that. And then towards the end of the program, more on state soccer. The tournament is underway today with the Class A boys. We will talk to Kearney girls coach Tammy Anderson as they have the first game tomorrow at 9 a.m. But a little insight to our listeners. Of course, there's always the talk and what's going on back and forth, you know, during the commercial breaks when we're talking and before the show when we're talking. And we've got Caleb Henry back in the studio doing the producing. Brady Bonsall and Randy Bushcutter are there. Randy, there's a bunch of liars back there in that studio. I don't think Caleb ever threw the javelin 240.
Yeah, it was after someone else caught it and then ran with it, you know, after they were impaled. It got the full distance that way.
rough type. I'll tell you what, we'll chat a little bit here, but you have coached, you have taught, you know what it's like at this time of the season. A, you got seniors that haven't been in school for a few days, and you're trying to get that competition here in whatever the sport is, soccer, golf, tennis, and in this case, track. Randy, what's it like mentally when these kids are, they're seniors especially, they're out of school and they're still trying to accomplish goals, and for some, maybe they're just ready to be done, especially on a day like this.
Well, I think you get both ends of the spectrum, Doug. You kind of get those kids as like, you know, I just want to be done. I just want to move on with my summer. I want this to be over with. But you get those high achievers, especially if you're going to district, you're going to state. Now they really kind of feel like they can concentrate. They can focus on it. They can, you know, they don't have to worry about their chemistry final while they're hydrating, so they make sure that they don't get dehydrated at the last stretch of the mile run or what have you. So you kind of get both ends of the spectrum. I think however the kid is gets magnified this time of year. Whether if they're going to be good and they're going to concentrate on what they're doing, it adds to that. And if they're going to be distracted easily, it detracts from it.
Well, let's get into our Loper Link. We've got a lot to cover here. Again, we've got track going on throughout the area. The D6 at Heartland, the D7 here at Kennesaw. We'll have updates throughout the day from those meet. Gothenburg and Arapahoe are also hosting some Class D meets today. Our Class A schools are all at different districts today. Hastings is in Columbus at the A4. Kearney is at Omaha Bryan in the A2, and Grand Island goes to Millard South in the A1. The other one being hosted by Lincoln High. It's time for our Loper Link, brought to you by Russ Smith at Charter West National Bank of Kearney. You have the reasons they have the loans at Charter West National Bank. Yesterday, the Division II national qualifiers were announced, and for UNK, Brady Land, Dylan Trote, Marissa Bongers, and Danny Coons all made it. And Brady Bonsall joins us here this morning. And, Coach, good morning. And I guess the question is, are you satisfied? Usually in this kind of case, you kind of know what's coming down with where they're at sitting on the national charts. Is this what you expected?
Yeah, after we got past last weekend, we knew we had some people that were going to be in the top 30, but it was going to be, you know, they take around 20 in every event, sometimes maybe 18 or 19 in some other events. They'll maybe take 22, 23. But after last weekend, we had a pretty good idea of which four we're going to be in. And no, we're never satisfied, even if we took 30 people. but yeah, you know, we were pleased with the four that are going. But you know, some of the ones who didn't qualify, you know, when you think of someone who's run 350 in the 1500, so, which, you know, to put that in perspective, that's about a 406 or 407 mile. When you have, you know, women's vaulters vaulting 12 feet, when you got a javelin thrower who throws 198, that's why I was asking Caleb about how far he'd thrown. 204 might have got in. You know, we just had a number of people perform at a really high level. You know, a 4x4 relay, men's 4x4, run 312. And, you know, 312 on a 4x4 is everybody running 48 flat. And so those are some of the things that we had that didn't qualify. And it just is an indication of how strong Division II is. I've always thought this, that the longer I've been at UNK, the more I've realized that I think sometimes Division II has a little bit of an identity crisis in Nebraska. I think people understand, you know, UNL, and whether it's they were in the Big 12 and now the Big 10, and I think they understand, honestly, like the NAIA schools, but I don't think they really, everyone has a handle on the level of Division II, and that's across all sports. I think as we've been in the MIAA, what you see happen in football, you know, volleyball, basketball, I think people are starting to get a better handle on that just as we've moved to a tougher conference in those sports. But again, I don't think everybody always gets, you know, I think 3-4 years ago, Al Sanabria places third at the Drake Relays in the 10K, misses qualifying for the national meet by one spot. And I remember thinking when we were at our national meet and he wasn't there, how if he was at an NAIA school, he'd still be competing. If he was a Division III school, he'd still be competing. If he was at a Division I school and it was the weekend of their regional meet, he'd still be competing because he would have qualified for any of those meets, but he didn't qualify for our national meet. So we're really proud of the four that qualified, but we're equally proud of some of the ones who didn't get in.
So. Is Marissa one that you kind of look at and say maybe has the best chance? Her time in the 800 puts her eighth in the nation right now, and it seems like she breaks the school record every time she ever runs a meet. Does she have the best shot?
I don't know if, you know, between the four of them, I think they've all, you know, the two guys are seated, I think, 12th, 13th in their event, but they've both been All-Americans before. Danny's actually seated the highest at 7th in the Hammer, and she beat the number 2 ranked one. The top two are from the MIAA, so Danny's actually the third ranked thrower from the MIAA at 7th nationally, but she actually beat the one from Lindenwood at the conference meet. You know, for Marissa, it was a little bit of a decision. As she's gotten older, she's developed into a pretty good 1,500-meter runner. So she, if we had declared her in that event, she'd be sitting 11th in that one. And the 800 field's probably a better field than the 1,500. It's going to take a better performance to qualify for finals, I think, in that one than the 1,500. So, yeah, a little bit of a decision there, but we feel pretty good about. And we felt like we had to pick one or the other and not double. And so for her, either is good. But every time she's gone to the national meet and placed, it's always been a situation where we have to make sure we make finals first because only 9 are going to make finals.
Brady Bonsall, UNK track coach, joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. They'll head up to Grand Valley State. It runs next Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, the D2 Outdoors. I've asked this question of you probably multiple times, Brady, but it still becomes a head-scratcher for me, is that you look at a gal like Marissa Bongers who breaks the school record, and you just, in my mind, it just seems like, man, that's got to be, you know, that's a once-in-a-generation sometimes type of deal. And you've got a couple of the kids that have set records for you. In fact, in the steeplechase last week, you had a record set as well, a 12-year-old mark that fell. But yet, they're kind of on that edge of All-American status. What does that say about how strong Division II is, kind of piggybacking on what you said? Or what does that say about some of the old records at UNK?
Yeah, we just need better records, right? So when you break a school record, you go to nationals. But, yeah, the men's DMR indoors, the men's 4x4 outdoors, Cole Wellnitz in the 1500, Morgan Benish in the steeple. Those are all Julie Burr indoors in the 60 hurdles. Those are all folks who broke school records who, with those marks, ended up not qualifying for nationals. But when those marks were set, those were national qualifiers. You know, Jackie Dibbern, who's now third on our steeple list. My first year here, she qualified for nationals at 11:02. Morgan runs 10:50 this last weekend and misses it by 6 or 7 spots. So it just means that it's just getting tougher and tougher. You see that. I think you see that both in Division I and Division II. It's not necessarily what the top mark in each event is. It's just what the 10th best mark, what the 20th best mark, what the 30th best mark is. The depth of it, that's getting better and better.
I have both kind of a general and a much more specific question. We've talked about the steeplechase. You've qualified somebody in the hammer and the decathlon. These are all events that these folks did not compete in high school. Talk a little bit about the process of kind of learning that new collegiate event, and specifically somebody like Danny, who as a junior qualifies throwing the hammer, something that I'm sure she never did until she became a loper.
Yeah, it's interesting. I hadn't thought of it until you even asked about it. But what I would say is that in every event, at the end of the day, to be successful, we have to be able to develop athletes. We aren't necessarily always getting people who were super high caliber athletes coming out of high school. Now, that's not to say, I mean, Dylan Schroe had many opportunities to go to bigger schools, and ended up coming here to UNK. You know, Marissa is the Class C state record holder in the 800 still from high school. So it's not that they weren't good high school athletes, but you have to be able to develop. So whether it's Brady Land being a 21.6 long jumper in high school and now he's a 25 foot long jumper, or it's Danny learning the hammer, or Dylan learning other events to be a good decathlete. Those are all, like you said, with the steeplechase. And those are all events, that you just have to learn and get better at.
Right. Excuse me, Brady Bonzel here with us on the Doug
and
Dad.
Eating your
show.
Hot dog there? Or you...
They have good hot dogs there, by the way.
Kennesaw always has good stuff. We wait for intermission, you know that. I want to ask about Dylan decathlon, his strengths. I don't think we've ever specifically broke it down. His strengths and maybe an event where he needs to do a little bit better to get back on that All-American stand.
Yeah, you know, one thing with his mark, he's sitting 13th, and then Payson Maydew from Emporia is sitting 11th. Those two guys, and actually even the guy at 12th, Nathan Hancock from Mankato, they all performed down at the Emporia Multi earlier this year. And the first day of that Multi was really bad weather. And so their marks probably could be a little bit higher. We just felt like it was good enough that he would end up qualifying for nationals, and it did get in. But all three of those guys can do much, much better, I think, particularly Maydew and Dylan can do better, I think, if we get better weather. Or, again, even if we don't get good weather, the idea that somebody else qualified when they had great weather somewhere and we didn't. But, yeah, for him, if you look at his best events, you know, he's a 6'10 high jumper. He's a 14'2 high hurdler. He's a 24-foot long jumper. You know, those are really good. You know, he knew nothing about the pole vault. And now he pole vaults at a level that he, you know, if he was back in high school, he'd be a medalist, say, at the Class B state meet with what he can do. And he had to learn it from scratch, and that's maybe kind of hard to do when you're 20 years old when you start the process. You know, he's gotten better in all of his throwing. You know, the throwing events probably are his weaker ones. He has gradually, you know, just progressively gotten better in those. But still, you know, what I find interesting about the multi is, as someone who didn't personally do it, is in the long jump and in the throwing events, you know, when you compete in the javelin just at a regular meet, if you make finals, you get three more throws, so you end up with six total throws. And in a deck, they just get three attempts at everything. So you come down the runway and you get one scratch, and then you come down the runway and then maybe they have an off jump, and all of a sudden there's pressure. You got to get it done right now. And the same thing in the throws, that when you only have three opportunities, you know, you go out in practice and you take 15, 20 throws and you have some good ones in there, but when you do it in competition, you just get three to get it done.
Let's talk a little bit about the environment you guys are going to be in. You're going to Grand Valley State, which is one of the premier schools in terms of athletic prowess in Division II.
Yep.
What do you kind of know about the setup and the facilities you guys are going to be?
Yeah, we were actually there last year for the national meet. They'd always been scheduled to host it this year, and then last year there was a facility issue with the place that was supposed to host it, and so Grand Valley picked it up. And so I kind of like it, actually, when you have it somewhere 2 years in a row. If nothing else, that second year the school tweaks some things administratively and how they run it, and they just have a better, you know, they have a better feel about what they need to do to pull the meet off well. As we look ahead, weather-wise, it could be a little cool, could be a little windy. Last year we had just ideal weather for it, but I think what we're going to get next week is probably more typical for Grand Valley. Yeah, it's a beautiful campus, beautiful facility, you know, 20,000 student campus. The school itself is less than 40 years old, so everything on campus is new. And, you know, honestly, they're a Division I school who chooses to be Division II.
Yeah.
You know? So in every way, shape, and form, facility-wise, funding-wise, staffing, everything. They're really a Division I school. But, again, you can sit there, and whether it's the move to the MIAA or it's going against the Grand Valleys of Division II, you can complain about it or worry about it or whatever, or you can just get better. And I've seen that in the move to the MIAA. We've got people that I look at certain of. You know, I look at Chelsea Wickard last year running 62 in the 400 hurdles. I don't think she would have run 62 if we'd stayed in the RMAC, because she wouldn't have had to be competitive. Mm-hmm. And we can just go down the line with people like that who are better because of who we're competing against, and Grand Valley just part of that.
We've never mentioned how big Grand Valley State is on the Doug and Daddy Show ever before, with 28,000 kids that are enrolled there. But last question in kind of a half. I want to ask you about your recruits that you just signed, Brady. But first, we are in this condition today, how windy it is. You talked about the weather conditions. A day like today, kids here across the state of Nebraska trying to get to Omaha, what's the one thing that you tell your kids when you run into something like this?
Well, one of the nice things is you just got to beat people. So it's not really about the mark you get. I mean, yes, that matters. But, you know, when you have that, you know, because that's one of the things that we probably battle as a Division II school in the Midwest, is having limited opportunities to get qualified, because you don't always get good weather and good competition and have a good day yourself and have all those three things happen on the same day. One of the nice things about high school is it happens today. I mean, you could have the situation, I know, where you could have the person who should be the state champ and they wake up and they're sick this morning and then they don't qualify. So you always hear those stories. But one of the nice things is you just go out, compete, and beat people.
And finally, you did release 21 names, some of them right here in the area, a couple kids from Kearney. We had from Holdridge and of course, Dexter over at Nebraska Christian, mm-hmm. and that's just a handful of them, Aurora, but a couple that you might want to touch on out of this class?
You know, we're just overall really pleased, and we're not done with the class yet. With the way they changed the signing dates, where we had an early signing date in November, and I just don't think in Division II not that many students are going to sign in November, have made a decision at that point. So then you don't sign until April 15th. So because of that, you know, for some kids, if they haven't decided for sure, April 10th, April 15th, they're in the middle of their high school season, it's hard for them to decide. So we've got some people that we're still talking to. But, like you said, locally, you know, you have Steph Whitus in the pole vault from Kearney High, and you have Jason Long from Kearney High and the throws that we're excited about. But, you know, like you mentioned, the Dexter kid from Nebraska Christian. I actually went to high school with his aunt, so that's probably the reason Warren ended up here. But, no, that's probably the reason why he wouldn't come here. but, you know, he's a guy that maybe he isn't going to have the same marks as Frank Cuddy, our distance guy from Lincoln High, coming in. But I would consider Warren and Frank to be very equal guys coming in ability-wise. It's just sometimes the guy from the bigger schools had a few more opportunities to – you know, compete against good competition week in, week out, or maybe has trained a little bit more, because that's what it takes to be successful at the bigger school. But, you know, whether it's Njali Koa or Jace Anderson, our jumpers that are coming from Class A schools, or whether it's one of our athletes from a C or D school, we think all of them can be successful here.
Well, we'll let you get going, Brady. Have fun up there, and best of luck to your team at D2 Nationals.
All right. Thank you very much.
As Brady Bonzel, head track and field coach, and of course cross-country coach as well, joining us here on our Loper Link. Again, Brady Land, Dylan Trope, Larissa Bongers, Danny Coons, right, heading up to the D2 Nationals. And there's a lot of other things going on with the Lopers, Randy. I'll run down a couple of them here. Okay. UNK's wrestling coach and Mark Bauer. Just this morning, five more kids that will be coming in, young men that will be joining the five high school kids that committed in December. Trevin Briscoe out of Garden City, Kansas. Corey Kennedy out of Beaver Crossing. Cody Kingery out of Underwood, Iowa. Parker Withhoom out of Story City, Iowa. And Logan Searle is the local one out of Edgar, Nebraska. Competed at South Central Unified. Was third 195 this past year. A four-time academic all-state pick. So there's the latest five for a UNK coming off the national runner-up. And speaking of wrestling, some of the ex-wrestlers, Travel Delognev and Patrick Martinez, are on to world team trials after claiming U.S. Open titles in Las Vegas this weekend. Delognev winning the heavyweight, of course, and then and that's in freestyle, and Martinez won the Greco-Roman title, and he will head off to Ithaca, New York. And for Travel, he heads off to Madison, Wisconsin. It's amazing. Travel just continues to be right there and continues to do well. And I would think staying at that heavyweight, yes, you always got to be, but I always thought, Randy, once you kind of matured, got into your 20s, even for some of these guys, 30, that weight thing probably not much of a problem. You found what you're going to do. Heavyweight, probably not the case.
Yeah, that it kind of is your natural weight, I think, once you kind of get to that point. Some of those guys really have to kind of battle with that. Yeah, obviously, you can't just do whatever you want to do, but I don't think that that's going to be an issue for Tavell. And he's had a tremendous amount of success and just continues to grow and mature. I'm really excited about his opportunities coming up by the time the next wrestling, by the time the Olympics comes around, he's still going to be kind of in that prime condition, and that's going to hit at a great time in his life to maybe be able to get up there and continue to have the success that he has, and maybe get a better medal at the Olympics. And you don't get to have those kind of discussions about people you know very often, and it's very exciting.
Also, a UNK freshman, Joey Richards, the Central Region Men's Rookie Tennis Player of the Year, played a lot at 1-2 singles, where he was 20-11, and teaming up in the 1-2 doubles, 32-6. So congratulations to Richards. Also, UNK Golf had 9 members named to the Academic Honor Roll, and Anna Summers was named an MIAA Scholar Athlete. Of course, she made it to the regionals, finishing 22nd last week. And I believe we talked about baseball last week, but if it wasn't out on Wednesday, Anthony Pacheco, Max Ayoub, first team, Danny Droll, second team, Brandon Landanger, Dylan Schroeder, Aaron Smith, third team, Connor Messinger, honorable mention when it came to conference baseball. And really, track's all that's left now for UNK. Next week, we're going to talk a couple of different issues towards the end of the month. Paul Plinski will be in to kind of wrap up the season.
Yeah, it's all coming to a head. It's all kind of wrapping up, and track's left. We have high school soccer and track, and that's going to be it. And it's going to be time to start concentrating full-time on things like Legion baseball and those travel teams, softball teams, and stuff like that. It will be in the summer mode officially coming up here very shortly.
And you've got American Legion Baseball starts Monday with Kearney and Hastings. That is our Loper Link, brought to you by Russ Smith, Charter West National Bank. We will take a break, switch it back over to track. Dwayne Schmidt from Kearney Catholic will join us after this.
Highly favored American Pharoah rallied in the stretch to win the Kentucky Derby in a breathtaking finish. Now watch the amazing American Pharoah run for the evasive Triple Crown Saturday in the Preakness Stakes at Pimlico. Simulcast for wagering at Fodder Park. Be there for the Preakness, plus day-long racing from 23 tracks. Advance wagering available Friday. First race Saturday, 9:45. Clubhouse open at 1. Fodder Park, Grand Island.
Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, getting you back in the game of life. With 2 locations in Kearney, the Ortho Clinic at the Kearney Clinic and the Rehab Clinic at the ENT Building. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, excellence in rehabilitation. A very proud supporter of the area athletes in and out of the game. Locations serving Kearney, Lexington, Minden, Ravenna, and Wood River. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Farming is your livelihood, and we understand that. After all, the companies of Farm Bureau Financial Services were originally founded to serve the unique insurance and financial services needs of farmers. Contact Farm Bureau agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers in Kearney and learn how they make it simple to help you select the coverage that's right for you today and provide options for the future of your growing operation. Call Rich Peters or Matt Myers in Kearney today. Farm Bureau Property and Casualty Insurance Company, Western Agricultural Insurance Company. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC. Affiliate, Farm Bureau Financial Services.
Increasing cloud cover today with a slight chance for some afternoon showers. We'll have highs in the lower 70s, and then rainlets likely tonight with low temperatures near 54. I'm Weather Eye meteorologist Sam Donaisky.
Right now it's 64.
Yo,
mic check, mic check.
And welcome back to the Doug and Daddy Show. Kind of a split squad thing today. We got Doug out in Kennesaw. We'll be talking a little track here with just a moment with Kearney Catholic head coach Dwayne Schmidt. But, you know, right now we have to send out the call to all wing lovers out to the chicken coop. They're bringing in the ducks. Wings, duck wings, that is. Not your average river ducks. No, no, no. These are Maple Leaf farm-raised ducks. So they're raised on the farm, and they don't taste like your average duck. They bring the wings in. They dip them in one of your favorite 14 different flavors of their sauces and have the same wing flavors that Coop has become famous for. Now available in duck wings, a much different taste, and they are wonderful. Also, don't forget that they have their new mango habanero only in the Kearney Chicken Coop Bar and Grill, the best of both worlds. Best of both wings. You get both duck and chicken wings downtown Kearney at the new chicken coop. That's a great deal, a lot of fun. And, Doug, I don't think they have those there at the concession stand. I think you're stuck with hot dogs there in Kennesaw.
Yeah, well.
They make good hot dogs. And, by the way, I always put a little cheese on them. They have that cheese with the nachos. That's a nice ad.
Nothing wrong with a little chili cheese, Doug. I tell you what, I can't believe that the rain we've got, and as windy as it is, you can still see the dust flowing across. And here at Kennesaw, as it is with a lot of schools in our area, they kind of set on the outskirts of town, and so some of it starts to make its way into the track here. But very tough conditions today. We do have our first event that is finalized. Axtell's Sophie Melamo wins the girls' high jump, and Jaden Heckenlively of Alma is the runner-up, so they're headed to state. But 410 is the best you can get today in anything where you have to leave the ground today, I would think would be very tough. The high jumps, the pole vaults, now long and triple, as long as it's at your back, you're going to be okay. Trying to throw that discus might be a little bit difficult today as well, Randy, but I'm not going to go try it.
You kind of mentioned it was so windy that Superman and his cape would fly. I'm not so sure that I'm aerodynamic to have that happen. That might have something to do with the cheese and the hot dogs, by the way. I'm not sure.
Quite that windy. Okay, I got you. Coming up later on in the show, Tammy Anderson to talk Kearney High girls soccer. Of course, the Kearney boys play Millard West today at 3. Lexington and Hastings boys face off at 6 o'clock tonight in Omaha. And boy, we know wind can affect that soccer ball, so that could be interesting as well. Tomorrow, we've got B and C district track, A and D going on today, and we will continue our updates. And tomorrow, the B5 is where I'll be up in Broken Bow, and it's a little bit different situation for some of these teams. It's a different district. Some of the teams familiar with each other, but we talked with Coach Jilko over at Lexington before the GNAC. They're the only team out of their conference there. You've got three teams that were C last year that are now up to B that are up there, and one of those is Kearney Catholic, and Coach Dwayne Schmidt joins us in studio. Schmidt, good morning. How you feeling?
Hey, I'm feeling pretty good, Doug. Thank you.
You guys are going to draw a little bit better weather day tomorrow. How much does that just improve the spirits of everybody, competitors, coaches? We know how it helps the workers, but does it just change the mood mentally? Is it a whole different thing?
Oh, absolutely. Anytime you can run in some nice weather, you know, the kids get excited about it. If it's a cold day or rainy day, they're hovered up in the tent, and sometimes they don't get warmed up quite as well because they're hiding as much as they can. So hopefully it'll be a good day tomorrow.
A little bit different environment, though, because I think of Kearney Catholic, I think of Class C and maybe even Class D. Now in track, Kearney Catholic is Class B. That obviously is going to up the competition level that you guys are going to face.
Most definitely. It's going to provide some different challenges for us, and it'll be a learning experience for us. But, kind of looking, the one thing that's helpful is Ord and St. Paul have also moved up to B. They're in our conference. We compete against them on a regular basis, as well as Adams Central. So, you know, four of the teams we compete against quite a bit, so I think that will help us adjust a little bit easier.
Teams, by the way, that'll be at the B5 tomorrow in Broken Bow, besides the Indians, Adams Central, Cozad, Holdridge, Kearney Catholic, Lexington, Minden, Northwest, Ord, St. Paul. So three members of the Lou Platte are up there and familiar with some of the other schools. If I know you, Schmitty, and I think I do, you probably have looked at times in B and times in C. Every once in a while, you got a kid that comes along. Let's say that you were still in Class C that would have been better than anybody in the state that's going for an all-class gold. Obviously, the bigger the class, the better the times and the distances. Where is it really affecting the boys or girls? What event is it probably going to make it a little bit tougher than if you were in C, say at Sandy Creek or somewhere tomorrow?
You know, I think the field events, but, you know, I heard you talking to Bounce a little earlier, but, you know, it's not so much your top kids. It's your number four, number five, number six are definitely better in all the events. So, you know, in Class C, you might have people that are sitting maybe second or third going into districts, and in Class B, we're sitting like sixth or seventh going in with that time. So the overall competition in all the events is going to be tougher, no doubt.
Obviously, kind of the face of the program the last few years, Paige Herbert has done an outstanding job for you with the knee injury that she suffered. It's a coming back process. Where is she exactly in terms of that comeback? What kind of percentage you kind of see her at? I mean, just talk a little bit about her and just kind of, we obviously wish that she never got hurt and was 100% coming into this meet her senior year.
Yeah, you know, she's a three-time defending champ in the triple jump, and probably the hardest thing is, now that we moved up to Class B, probably the second best or first best triple jumper in the state is Tiana Reeves from Gothenburg. And though they're not in our district, but we would have had an opportunity to go head-to-head at state, and I would have loved to have seen that because there's two girls right there that probably would have been over 39 feet. Would have been great competition. But, you know, Paige is, I mean, I've never seen a person, a girl or a guy, work as hard as she has to come back. And she's not 100%, but she, each week she's gotten better, faster. She didn't start running or competing in meets until about halfway through the year, and we kind of slowly brought her along. Jumping, long and triple jump, she's not going to do any of that. She has been practicing about the last 3 weeks, the high jump, and doing very, very well at it. And we expect her to qualify for state in that. With the high jump, she's taken off her other leg, so it's not as much stress on her knee. And she's mastered it pretty good. She's just a tremendous athlete, works very hard, has a great attitude, work ethic. And, you know, all the other kids look up to her. And, you know, she's been doing some running, too, even experimenting with the shot put, and she actually did pretty well with it. But it was just so late in the year to start with that we couldn't get her, you know, to where we thought she would be able to place or do anything in it.
We're talking with Dwayne Schmidt, Kearney Catholic track coach. They'll be at the B5 tomorrow at Broken Bow, which is where we will be. Schmidt, I know you, most coaches do. I think you do as much as anybody, try to tinker throughout the entire season to find what the best lineup will be. And that's good because you got the depth. The best lineup could be when you get to districts to qualify for state. Will there be much difference from what you have entered at districts from what you entered at conference last week?
Yes, it will be. You know, you got to look at, we want to give some kids, try to get to as many kids as possible qualify for state. And whatever they, an example would be, you know, Zach Jackson, a great runner for us, you know, runs a 4x8 relay, which our boys have the top time in the district and one of the top times in the state and should do very well in that. But, you know, he's got, I think he's sitting third or fourth in the 400 and he's sitting like second in the 800. And If you run him in a lot of events, you know, he might suffer in one of the other ones. So we're going to try to decide before tomorrow whether we're going to run him the 400 or 800 and try to save him a little bit, so give him a better opportunity. And, you know, there's a lot of kids that are in that area like that where, you know, we might, at conference, we kind of loaded them up and more or less going for points at conference and weren't worried about our times or distances. Well, at districts, we have to worry about our times and distances and place and to be able to qualify for state.
And obviously one of the athletes you look at is Anna Squires, has had one of the best discus throws in the state. Talk a little bit about your throwers and Anna in particular.
Yes, and Anna, actually she's sitting second in our district, but I think she's sitting about sixth overall in all class. One thing about Anna, she's been really consistent this year, and I think automatic qualifying in B is 122, which she's been, you know, 126 to 130 all year, and a couple meets she threw 136 one meet, 137 10 this last meet, and you know, been very consistent, so we feel good about that. But again, you know, there's some girls in there. There's a Grant girl from Ord and the girl from Madam Central, that the girl from Madam Central actually has a better throw than Anna, and the girl from Ord is right around 130. So one thing different for us that we'll adjust to getting into B is that they do take the top three individuals in all the open events and then the top two relays. That's a little different from Class C and D. The other thing that's kind of nice is they use the fully automatic timing, which I really, really enjoy. So you kind of takes away that quick finger or slow finger at some of them districts, you know. So your additional qualifiers have probably a better chance with the FAT. You know, it's going to be the same across the state for A and B, so I'm excited about that.
You'll still have your stopwatch, right?
I will still have my stopwatch, definitely. and my lawn chair.
Schmitty here with us for another minute, head coach, Kearney Catholic Track. And you talked about having an opportunity to qualify a few more kids. I will break down a couple of them here. I joke with Harrison Pierce, you're crazy when you run all those distance races in one day, but he was pretty successful last week, and you guys have had pretty good distance runners over the years. Talk about the boys' distance and maybe your boys' field besides maybe Harrison.
Yes, you know, and Harrison, he had a great day last week to run all them, and it didn't just run for places. I mean, he had some pretty good times. So, again, that's, you know, we'll kind of take a look. We got all the entries in now. We'll take a look and kind of see where he sits, but he is definitely sitting in the top three in all them. So we'll see what we do with him. But distance 4x8 relay has an excellent chance. Zach Jackson, Harrison Pierce, Hunter Ozentowski, Austin McCoy, Liam Murphy, them guys have all done a great job for us all year, scored a lot of points, and it gives us options in the 4x8. We can kind of switch different people around. Also, the 4x4, we feel like we've got a really, really good chance there. Got a couple of shot putters in the boys' side that are sitting, I think, fourth and fifth going in, and you know, if they have a good day, they can qualify. And you know, on the girls' side, we have Callie Ulbrich and Emily Misick. You know, they're sitting third and fourth, and they take the top three, but their times, I think, are the fourth and fifth place time out of our district. I was looking at the paper and the charts in Class B, and there are three people in our district in almost every single one of the top eight events. And Holdridge, which is in our district, has a top three spots in the pole vault, and the fourth place spot is Adams Central, and they're in our district, you know. So it is a loaded district. I was excited. Well, I wasn't excited when we moved up to B, but when I was trying to figure out the districts, I was seeing that Aurora, York, and Seward were going to go east, and St. Paul and Ord were going to be in our district. Well, you throw in Northwest and Holdridge, and them programs are very strong. Ord has an outstanding team, and they're going to qualify their three relays in the girls' side, and so it'll be interesting. And you know, we hope that we can get a lot qualified. And again, Paige Herbert, we hope that in the high jump, and we got some other jumpers, and Ashton Schmatter is a freshman for us. She's actually sitting third in the 100 and about fourth in the 200. So we'll strap them on, and we'll compete really, really hard tomorrow, and hope for the best.
You're not just a coach; you're also a track fan. Is there an athlete? Is there an event that you're looking forward to tomorrow? May or may not involve one of your athletes in there. Is there something you're looking forward to a lot tomorrow?
Actually, I think the 100 hurdles and the girls. You know, there's four, I think, very, very good, and I think all four have an excellent opportunity to get to state. They're all pretty close, but I think it's going to be a nice battle. And the boys, 4x4, there's five, six teams that have all run within 2 seconds of each other, so that'll be a battle too. And, you know, being a track fan, Randy, I love to watch everything except for sometimes the 2 mile. That's usually when I go to the concession stand.
As long as they don't run two heats.
Yeah, that's right.
Schmitty, Dwayne Schmidt, Kearney Catholic track coach, wrapping things up with him here. And correct me if I'm wrong here in the handicapping, but Northwest Ord girls 1 and 2, how do you see that? And is Adams Central the favorite in the boys, or are some of these other teams going to be right there with them?
Boy, I think the boys is kind of up for grabs. Yeah, Adams Central will be pretty good, and probably maybe as a slight favorite. And the girls' side, you know, Northwest and Holdridge, but boy, don't count out Ord. You know, they could win and probably will win all three relays. They got two excellent 300 hurdlers. They got some 400 and 800 runners and 1600 meter runners, and they got a good weight person. So they're very strong. You know, that's I feel for Derry, because if they were Class C this year, I think they would be looking at winning a Class C title. And moving up to B, you know, the competition is definitely tougher, and you know, it'll be interesting to see how they do.
Don't encourage them with the Chanticleers thing. Don't do that.
I have to.
You just can't catch a break, can we, Schmitty?
No, definitely not.
Well, again, tomorrow, action gets going a little bit later tomorrow. With running events at 2:30, I believe it is, Schmitty.
Is that right? Yeah, 12:30, I believe, is the field events, and then 2:30 will be the running events.
That's going on in Broken Bow. Tyson Hronik will be over at the C9 at Sandy Creek, which involves most of our area teams, and we'll have updates all day tomorrow, and then the state meet 1 week from Friday and Saturday down in Omaha. So, Schmitty, anything else before we let you roll?
No, I'm excited. I guess the weather forecast looks great, so I'm excited about that.
All right, Dwayne, best of luck. We'll see you up there tomorrow.
Hey, thanks, Doug. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Dwayne.
Thank you, Randy.
That's Dwayne Schmidt, Kearney Catholic track coach, joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. I'm in Kennesaw, Randy there in the confines of the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth.
Yeah, and it's I
we kind of buried the lead a little bit. Did you know that we kind of have a coup? We have some audio, you know, that this whole Deflategate thing.
Oh my God!
Yeah.
You have audio?
Yeah, yeah. We have audio. You know that Brady is going to ask, you know, to have his suspension reduced from 4 games to maybe not at all, and he's actually going to be meeting with the commissioner in the future in a more formal setting. We actually had some of the early discussions between the commissioner and Tom Brady trying to get him to reduce the amount of suspension he has, and here is Tom Brady talking with the commissioner trying to get his suspension reduced.
Oh, please don't kill us. Please don't kill us. You know I love you, baby. It wasn't my fault.
You think you can talk your way out of this? You betrayed me.
No, I didn't. Honest. I ran out of gas. I had a flat tire. I didn't have enough money for cab fare. My touch didn't come back from the cleaners. An old friend came in from out of town. Someone stole my car. There was an earthquake. A terrible flood. Locust. It wasn't my fault, I swear to God!
There you go. I don't know if it'll work, but there's Tom Brady making his case.
Really? Huh. It seems like I've heard a speech similar to that before. I wonder if he did something. I wonder if he, you know, stole that, too.
No. Yeah, he plagiarized his speech. That's the other thing. That's the other rumor we need to start about him.
Folks, don't forget. Don't forget Tammy Anderson going to join us here after this break in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. The used car superstore, Randy, is open. We've been talking about it here for months since the acquisition of Killian Motors. Midway Auto Group on South 2nd Avenue in Kearney has the 8 dealerships, and now they've turned it into a used car superstore claim shop. It's all right there at the old Killian Motors building. They're open. They're ready to go. Everything's going good. And stop by and see them over by the Killian Motors. Of course, a lot of things going on. The old Killian Motors building, Midway Auto Dealership, is ready to take care of you. And you can also go to thinkmidway.com, the Midway Auto Group, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney. Let's take a break. And when we come back, Tammy Anderson a little bit more as District Track continues.
Assisted living. Is it about help with the daily needs of living or about getting more out of life? Is it about the services offered or the spirit in which help is given? At Good Samaritan Society Hastings Village, the difference is in a philosophy that everyone deserves to feel loved and valued. In fact, it's a lot more than assisted living. It's a little help from your friends. For more information on assisted living, give us a call at Good Samaritan Society Hastings Village or find us on the web at good-sam.com.
Instead of dealing with a bank, let us work for you. Hastings Federal Credit Union, the only member-owned financial institution in the area, offering checking, savings, auto, or mortgage loans too, with lower fees and truly personal service. Serving the financial needs of those who live in Adams, Clay, Fillmore, Knuckles, Thayer, and Webster counties. People helping people. Hastings Federal Credit Union, 707 North Marion Road in Hastings. Online at hastingsfcu.org. Equal housing lender, member NCUA.
Doing it right makes such a difference. Goodwill.
The story behind the Goodwill store. My story is about my journey of recovery. 5 years ago, addiction, major depressive disorder, and severe arthritis left me feeling hopeless. But with Goodwill's effective programs and compassionate, dedicated staff, I became hopeful my life could be different. Today, I am managing my illness, and life is good for me and my family. May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and Goodwill is celebrating people. People living life to the fullest, accomplishing goals and realizing dreams, what we all strive for, what Goodwill helps people do every day. Donate, shop, be part of the story. Life is definitely good for me and future generations.
Doing it right makes such a difference.
I'm a business owner, and we called Kearney Crete & Block when we needed a new and inviting-looking driveway.
We called Kearney Crete & Block when we decided to do a fire pit and patio. You should be calling Kearney Crete & Block and Christensen Concrete for all your concrete and masonry supplies. Let the professionals help you enhance the beauty and value of your home and business. Kearney Crete & Block and Christensen Concrete Products, building generations one block at a time.
Ravana Sanitation is a very proud supporter of the area high schools and would like to send out the best wishes to the seniors in the class of 2015.
Sapp Brothers in Odessa is home of the famous chicken fried steak dinner. Not just any chicken fried steak, but this is the big one that tastes as big as it looks. Best of luck, class of 2015, from Sapp Brothers in Odessa.
RAI of Nebraska is not just your insurance provider, but they're the people that live in your community, support your local growth, and know your high school graduates. So to the class of 2015 from RAI of Nebraska, congratulations.
Well, track season wrapping up, and that means, farmers, the 2015 irrigation season is coming along very quickly. Find out why so many growers are moving to the T&L hydrostatically powered pivot irrigation systems. T&L's superior reliability, low maintenance, safety, plus the simplicity of T&L's hydrostatic design are just a few of the reasons. There's many more. Contact your T&L or your local T&L dealer to visit their website at TLIRR.com. That's TLIRR. And learn why T&L irrigation systems are like no other. Speaking of like no other, Doug, out in Kennesaw, as things rolling along there in the Class D districts, and the wind being a major factor. We were kind of talking before we got on the air. Some events, the wind is really going to have an impact on it, like pole vaulting. You got a pole stuck up about 14 and a half feet up in the air. Wind coming up there, there's kind of some adjustments they have to make just to make sure that they're doing things in a fair and equitable manner.
Well, yeah, definitely doing what they have to do, no doubt about it, Randy. And the boys have come to an end. We don't have the official final results, but the Class D leader, Tyrell Younger, in this wind. Now, down the runway, the wind is actually at their back, but just trying to not knock that bar off the standards before they clear it is something. But he goes 14.6 today, and that breaks his best of the year, which was 14.1 and a quarter. So the wind didn't affect him. He goes 14.6, went for 15 feet, but was unable to clear it. So Younger does come away as a champion here in the pole vault. We've also got Ivan Demid-Aug winning the boys' long jump, 20 feet, 6 inches. And Jake Samuelson of Bertrand qualifies behind him at 19.4. Sophie Melova, Axtell, Jaden Heckenlively, Alma 1-2 in the girls' high jump as some of the early field events are winding down. Then the running events will get going at 1 o'clock. Before we get to Coach Anderson, let's take a look at some of the other sports stories out there. How much are you following? I know you watch the NHL. How much are you following the NBA?
Yeah, I'm giving it a try. I've been watching a little bit of it. I watched the Cavs game last night, and I gave up because it was a little bit lopsided there, the Clippers game, and it was getting kind of late. But I've actually been watching a lot more than I have in years past, and actually I'm kind of enjoying the Bulls and the Cavs series.
Well, we've got a lot of series that aren't over in 4 or 5 games. There's no doubt about it. Houston really a gut check last night to beat the Clippers, but I don't think they can come all the way back. They just can't stop them.
No.
I mean, the Clippers are getting 100 a game. When Houston can score, they can shoot with them, but I think the Clippers are going to get the better of this deal. And, hey, Jimmy Langan picked them to win it all. I wouldn't bet against that right now.
Well, I'll also say this, though. If the Clippers lose at home, which I don't think they will, but if they lose at home, Game 7 goes back to Houston. And then, you know, a little bit of momentum going to Houston's way and their home court advantage, who knows? So I think that Game 6 is really the Clippers' best opportunity to wrap that thing up.
In soccer, Millard North has a 1-0 lead over Lincoln Southwest. They are at halftime going on today in a Class B or Class A soccer, and as we said, Kearney will get going a little bit later on this afternoon.
Yeah,
3 o'clock is their kickoff.
And Prep did shut out Bryan earlier this morning, 2-0. Not a big surprise there that the Junior Jays advance.
Well, with the way things shook out too, Randy, there was a lot of upsets in the district finals for the Class A boys. That's how Kearney got to be a 5 seed. Usually their record would not this year warrant a 5 seed to be a 7 or an 8, but there are a lot of upsets. So outside of that Millard West Kearney game, you kind of expect all the other top 3 seeds to kind of roll on because they're taking on weaker competition, albeit and they play each other in the Metro, and you never know, but you just kind of expect that to happen, don't you?
Yeah, you do. You do. And there are prohibitive favorites in every game except for the Kearney High game, and you're absolutely right about that. But again, those teams got in there because they got hot at the right time. They were able to upset some of those teams because, you know, the Prep didn't win their district. You know, they were very curious to see how Lexington did in their sub-state game, because if the game would have gone the other way, they wouldn't even been down there. So, you know, I think once they actually had a chance to get their control, their own destiny, to have their own fate on their feet or in their hands, however you want to look at it, I think they came out and played very, very well from every indication that I saw today.
Alex Gordon homers up in the first pitch he sees in the 10th inning last night. He had a really good night last night. A couple of doubles, a homer, Hosmer and Moustakas homer. The Royals beat Texas by a score of 7-6. We've got the draw for the Preakness later this afternoon. Michelle Yu from Santa Anita is going to join us on the show tomorrow, and then Gino Bucola will be back with us on Friday. But we may not have a whole lot to talk about there. They're saying this could be the shortest field since 1986, with only seven starters in the Preakness. And, Randy, I know you're not a huge horse racing fan, but when it comes to horse racing, they're killing their own sport if they only got seven horses going tomorrow or this Saturday.
Yeah, and there is a fine line there. I don't necessarily like it in the Derby when they run. Sometimes they'll run in like 15, 17, and then if you get the bad draw, you really don't have a legitimate chance and you kind of hurt yourself. But you like to have at least about 10. You know, that to me, and again, you're right, I'm not a big horse racing fan, but that seems to be a pretty good number. When people kind of pick and choose how to do this, and the owner of California Chrome talked about this a couple of years ago, well, you know, since we didn't win and don't have a chance at the overall Triple Crown, let's sit out the Preakness and we'll catch up with the Belmont and then be nice and rested for that. I do think that there is something to be said for, if you're not in the Kentucky Derby, you don't get to be in the Preakness. And if you're not in the first two, you don't get to be in the third. And I understand that that probably wouldn't work doing it that way, but I agree with you a little bit in that it would make a whole lot more sense if people were looking at this like we're going to be in all three races. And again, if a horse is hurt, you don't want to injure them because they're hurt and have them run when they shouldn't be running. I mean, I fully understand that, and I'm behind that 100%. But you're right. You got to have a nice field out there. It's got to be a competitive thing. Otherwise, it's easy for people who are kind of a passive fan like I am to sit this one out. Now, I'll be interested to see if American Pharoah will win the first two stages. But again, we've been down this road before quite a bit, and it'd be great if they finally could get a Triple Crown winner.
Well, if you had to run in all three races, we wouldn't be 30 years between Triple Crown.
No, we wouldn't.
Last a century.
And that would help the sport out immensely. That would help the sport out immensely. If you just kind of kept whittling it down, by the Belmont, you had fewer horses in there. Having somebody laying in the weeds and say, all right, you guys wear yourselves out, and I'll come back and I'll get in the Belmont and win that. There's just something kind of inherently wrong with that system, and you're right, it hurts the sport.
Of course, I guess there's a better chance for American Pharoah to win if there's only six competitors going against him. A couple other sports notes, and then we'll hit our Midtown Mark Cooler question and Tammy Anderson with Kearney High Soccer. Scott Gucheski, who we talked about for a long time, kind of being the Nebraskan to represent us on the PGA Tour, kind of lost his way, was injured the last couple of years. Bottom line is he is going to play in the Wells Fargo Championship, his first pro event in over 3 years, because he won the qualifier with a 7-under-65 on Monday, so maybe he'll get a little TV time. Windy yesterday, but Southern Hills hosted the Tri-City Golf Invite for all of the Kearney, Hastings, and Grand Island teams that wanted to compete in that. And Grand Island Central Catholic won it. Ishan Sood also is the medalist from Central Catholic. Kearney Tennis swept Grand Island. As we told you yesterday, Grand Island will play in the state baseball tournament Saturday morning at 10 a.m. against Omaha Westside. And I think that pretty much covers all the things that we haven't touched on. Midtown Mart Cooler question, Midtown Mart of Hastings, home of the coldest beer and coolest topics. What do we got, Randy?
Well, the question yesterday, do you agree with the penalties for Tom Brady and the Patriots? And I agree with the majority. No, it's too much. And this is a Dolphins fan talking here. 55% said that the penalties were too much. 27% said that they agreed with the penalties. And only 18% said no, it wasn't enough. I agree with the fine. I agree with the draft picks being taken away. I do think that Tom Brady is maybe spending too many games on the sideline being suspended. That would be my opinion, and it is the opinion that at least something's too heavy for 55%. Today's question, who had the more impressive Tuesday performance? LeBron James with 35 points to take the 3-2 series lead, James Harden's triple-double to keep the Rockets alive, or Giancarlo Stanton with his 467-foot home run that actually left Dodger Stadium.
State soccer tournament gets going for the Kearney boys, Lexington and Hastings later today. Bright and early tomorrow morning, Kearney High will start things off on the girls' side with a rematch of opening day against Millard North. And we are pleased to be joined by Coach Tammy Anderson here on the Doug and Daddy Show. And Coach, congratulations. Your great season just continues to roll along.
Well, thanks a lot. At the beginning of the season, we thought maybe we would have these kind of results, but, you know, you just never know, and you have to have a little luck and make sure that you're injury-free. And kids have kind of gone about business, in a very good manner, and I think that that's why we've had the result that we've had with an 18-2 record.
And, Coach, you back-to-back trips. I mean, did the team really kind of feel like they were destined to do this? I mean, knowing they knew how to get there from last year, did that kind of help you get back to Omaha again this year?
Yeah, there's a certain confidence that you get when you've had some success at state. And, you know, we only lost one starter off of last year's team. So, you know, the kids, you know, we never really talked about it. I think it was just an assumed goal that we had to make it back. It, you know, these kids had a very quiet confidence about them. You know, I mentioned that they kind of had the swag without the swagger. Very methodical in their approach to practice and games. And, you know, they were a team that didn't get, you know, too high but didn't get too low. And I think that makes it really easy for a coach to train them, because their emotions really did not get the best of them when they were down in a couple of games or when they were up in games that maybe we might not have won had they started realizing what they were accomplishing in a couple of victories we had this year.
We're talking with Kearney girls soccer coach Tammy Anderson here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN. Coach, it kind of got beaten to death last year, and you got that win in the first round because it had been quite a while. How much does that play into this year, if at all?
Yeah, I think we've talked about last year. That's last season. Now we need to be our own team, and I think, you know, the kids understand what it takes. Number one, what it takes to get to state, and then number two, what it takes to win, because you're talking about eight very good teams. So of the seven draws you can get, you can't really go down and say, oh, that's a good draw or that's not a good draw. All quality teams, but I really feel like our kids have positioned themselves to be able to get there and get another win and who knows, you know, make some noise. You never know at state what's going to happen until you actually get on the pitch.
Well, the boys are very familiar with Millard West, and you're starting to get overly familiar with Millard North, obviously, for the fans that forgot. They're the team that beat you in the semifinals, and as we said, you started off with them this year. What's different about them when you play them tomorrow morning as opposed to the last two times?
You know, I think they're missing, I believe, if my reports are correct, they're missing their top scorer. She broke her collarbone against Marion later in the season, and so they're not a team that scores a lot of goals, and so for us it's not about keeping them out of the back of the net as much as it is trying to figure out how to attack them. Randy will understand this. They play a 3-5-2, which means they have three very solid defenders if you're only going to put three back there, but they fled the middle of the field, and they're just very difficult to get anything through the middle third. And so we worked our goal this year in our preseason and even in the summer camps was, you know, to switch our point of attack and be able to attack that style of play. And we'll see if what we've done is going to benefit us. Now, I will say they've got probably one of the top center midfielders in the state in Avery Anderson. She's about 6 foot tall. Her physical stature is, you know, something that we don't have to match in the middle. And then throw in some amazing technical skill, and it's kind of like having an Army tank with the maneuverability of a Cooper. She's just a great player. So we have to solve that equation and hopefully create a couple of opportunities, and then they've got an all-state keeper in the back. So once you get through the middle and get through past those three, then you got to get past the goalkeeper. But we you know, our first game, we had a couple of opportunities. We had a 1v1 that we just missed, and then Lauren Struby just laced one that, you know, it was either react or get your face taken off by the keeper, and she chose to react. So we hope to create some more opportunities and keep it out of our back third, which was kind of a problem when we played them at state.
So obviously possessing the ball is going to be something you're very interested in doing. You've got a pretty good player to help you do that in Kelsey Stitham. Talk a little bit about this being her last year, you know, going to play soccer in college. What kind of leadership is she throwing your way this season?
Well, you know, I think it speaks for itself. You know, she's going to leave Kearney High with the career goal scoring record, and last year she set the single season scoring record. But I think really what sets her apart is she's an incredibly competitive person. And I think everybody on the field senses when it's Kelsey Stitham time, and they feed off of that. And she's such an unselfish player. She's kind of given up some goals this year for more assists. And in the midfield, you know, we play with just three midfielders, and we're very solid there. I think we've got as good a midfielders as anybody in the state as far as possession. But she's like having two midfielders back there. She plays so well. So that helps us just in possession. And, you know, that possession, you know, if you can possess, keep people back on their heels, and you can find some open runners going into space. If you can't possess, you're chasing the ball all game long, and then it gets pretty difficult.
Tammy Anderson with us for just another couple minutes here on the Doug and Daddy Show as they play tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. against Millard North. Coach, what is different about your team? We've talked, and you told me about a couple of the injuries you've had during this seven-game winning streak since you went to Lincoln. Who has had to maybe change some roles? What's different about your team?
Well, the first time we played them, we had the injury bug, and we actually had one of our forwards was playing defender, Lauren Strubing, and she's back up on top. She's a lefty, and that's a more natural position for her. And so then we have Megan Mueller back in the back as a left defender, and she's a left footer. So that helps us back there. Brooke Griff was a starting defender last year, and she had a bad softball injury and then developed tendonitis. And so she's just now healthy, and so she gives us that fifth defender that we have a little bit of flexibility to move Megan Mueller up on top as a lefty, left footer, so Lauren Struby can catch her breath. And then also Brooke Griss will also go in at holding mid. So we've moved some personnel around, and I think that it's just to help our ability to possess and make some runs and create some opportunities while limiting the other team's opportunities. And, you know, Annie Kinneman back there, 14 shutouts in 1 year. Hopefully she doesn't get a lot of action because she's only had to make 50 saves this year. So she's got pretty good kids in front of her, and she has come up big. So, you know, I think that's what's different is just the amount of confidence that Annie has shown and the progress that she's shown throughout the year in her goalkeeping skills.
Well, you kind of led me down the direction I wanted to go. 14 shutouts. I mean, that just absolutely boggles the mind. It can't just be the goaltender in terms of doing that. That is indicative of how well you guys have been able to possess the ball. But defensively, with that in mind, I mean, is it going to be very important whoever scores the first goal when you guys get together with Millard?
Yeah, because, you know, last two times we've played them, they've given two of the last three losses we've had 1-0 games, both in the second half, both, you know, kind of late in the game. And I think if we can just get one in, you know, that's going to put a little more balance in our step and let the kids understand that, yeah, we can score against these people. And Millard North has 10 shutouts, and they've only given up 6 goals. We've given up 7 with 14 shutouts. They've only scored 45 goals. We scored 66. They've played a little bit different competition, though, than we have as far as how teams play, their system of play and Omaha Metro, you don't see a lot of goal scoring. So you can't really compare stats, but if you did, our stats would be right up there with the best.
Would you feel, Tammy, that your best shot is with the counterattack or keeping the pressure on?
You know, we need to, when you play against a team that plays with five in the midfield and just three in the back, you're going to have your top striker on. They're going to line up with the top deep back defender. Then we're going to sag back, and we're going to let them just kind of play with the ball in the back, and then when they make a mistake, that's our chance. So it's not so much a counter as it's just being patient, because you really can't press, because if you lose, then they're going to come back with huge numbers. So you have to be careful with their counter if you do lose possession because you're pressing up on top so much. But if it gets to the point where we might get to the point where it's late in the game and we have to, we can press. But we're going to kind of lay back and let them maybe make a mistake, and then we've got a lot of speed on top, and they're going to have to honor that. And if we can get away from them, I think that we'll have a pretty good shot at finding the back of the net.
Tammy, how far can the team go? I mean, Millard West is on your side. It's a fairly tough draw for you guys, despite how good you are. Ranked fifth, they're ranked second. Millard West is the number one seed. How you see this 8-team field?
I think it's wide open. Actually, I think there's going to be some surprises in the top three teams. I think everybody has a legitimate shot. Millard West. You know, you have Millard West, Omaha Marion, and Millard North, just because of their history. And I'm sure Lincoln Southeast is saying, "Hey, wait a second here, we're undefeated, and nobody's even considering us." So it's going to be fun. It's going to be great soccer for the fans to watch. And hopefully Mother Nature will be kinder to us than it sounds like she's going to be. So,
well, first time since 97 that the girls and boys are both down there from Kearney High. We got to let you get going soon. Go cheer them on.
All right. Thanks a lot.
That's Tammy Anderson, and you notice that she acknowledged that I have some soccer knowledge. Yeah, you did pick up on that, didn't you? Yeah, we didn't have a chance to talk about that at the time.
I don't know if it's so much that she acknowledged you. I think it was more running over me.
Well, either way, I'll win for me. Either way, running over you, acknowledging me, either way, win for me. That's all I'm looking for. That's all I'm good. I'm good with that.
I'll bet I could drop a 3-5-2.
You think you could?
I think I could.
All right.
3-5-2.
All right. Well, okay.
Some O's, and then what do you put in, like some R's?
I mean, usually you do kind of X's and O's generally, you know, when you draw it up.
So your whole
that aspect hasn't changed.
Your whole team would be X then.
Well, yeah, X's and O's, yeah. Yeah, they still kind of have that.
We are here at District Track in Kennesaw. We're going to wrap things up on the Doug and Daddy Show in just a moment. It's kind of ironic, though, just to put the bow on that one, Randy, is that for as few Metro teams that Kearney boys or girls get to play their state tournament matchups, for the boys, Millard West, the girls, Millard North, are rematches.
Yeah, teams that they played. And again, those Millard schools are not afraid hopping on a bus. For whatever reason, they're not afraid to come out here. Been a great relationship between the schools, Kearney Public Schools and the Millard schools, in terms of football, basketball, all that stuff. They've really developed a pretty good relationship over the years in terms of having those schools play each other. And it benefits Kearney High, and I think it benefits the kids from Millard. They kind of understand that there's more to the state, you know, west of Boys Town in the Omaha area. And I think it benefits them as well, because they do play a little bit different style of soccer, both in the metro area and outside of the metro area. So I think it benefits both programs.
Well, let's take a final break. Maybe the wind will die down so we can play a little golf this weekend. We'll tell you about that and wrap it up after this.
A few years ago, we decided as a company to drop the big franchise name so that we could invest the franchise dollars locally in the good things Kearney has to offer. And in that, I mean the people and what we do for each other. This is Tim Norwood with NP Realty.
NP Realty wants to congratulate our Class of 2015 Scholarship Award winners, Renee Ingersoll, Zach Schmidt, and Dylan Wells. We're proud of all of your accomplishments and wish you the best of luck.
NP Realty, developing dreams.
Hi, this is Ron Wall with Cargill Ag Horizons Marketing Services, better known as CAMS. As a personal marketing manager, I bring Cargill's global knowledge to your home or office by delivering unique insights that can benefit your operation. When you work with CAMS, you have expert marketers working for you so that you can concentrate on the business of farming. To learn more about how our disciplined approach to risk management can benefit your operation, call me at 402-710-1200. Cargill, helping farmers
prosper.
Convenient walk-in medical care.
Open when you need us.
Hastings Convenient Care.
No appointments necessary.
From sore throats to broken bones,
cuts, or illnesses.
Hastings Convenient Care is open when you need us.
Open 7 days a week.
Monday through Friday, 9 till 8, and weekends 11 until 5.
Program the number in your phone so it's there when you need it.
402-463-6300. Visit online at hastingscare.org.
208 South Burlington, Suite 108, just south of the underpass.
The care you need at the time you need it.
Hastings Convenient Care.
Play ball!
Great fielding and solid hitting start with the right stuff from TM Sporting Goods. Choose from brands like Louisville Slugger, Rip It, Mizuno, and Wilson. All the summer sports are made better with the right apparel and equipment from TM Sporting Goods.
Save!
Then roll in the expertise provided by Steve Varinall and Tino Martinez. TM Sporting Goods on the bricks, downtown Kearney, a division of Protein Design. Every sport done right.
Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation, KXPN Kearney, KICS Hastings.
Well, they do say that the wind will die down a little bit, and that means it's time now to sign up your team today to join the three-person scramble at the Holdridge Country Club. The $255 per-team entry fee includes 2 days of green fees, a Saturday night steak dinner followed by the Calcutta, cash payouts per flight and Calcutta. Cart rental is also available for an additional fee. You can print off a registration form at HoldridgeCC.com. Get online at HoldridgeCC.com. Call the Holdridge Country Club today at area code 308-995-5744. That's 995-5744 for more information. And again, you can register online at HoldridgeCC.com.
Always fun to play golf when you can find somebody that's better than you. And so this Saturday.
Well, for some of us, that's not real hard to find. I'll have two better than me in a three-person scramble. That's good.
Well, let's see if we can get some folks. It's always a great tournament over there, three-person scramble this Saturday and Sunday at Holdridge. Quick recap of what we have here so far for field event results. We've just had the official girls discus. Mackenzie Beavers of Overton wins it 110, 6 3/4. Jaden High of Bertrand is the runner-up, so they both go to state. Third was Grace White of Shelton. Kristen Edrin of Bertrand was fourth. In the boys' pole vault, Terrell Younger of Bertrand has the best jump of the year in Class D. He does it today at 14-6. Elm Creek's Gabe Hubbard, 12-6. He finished second. They're off to state. Ashton Hammond of Alma and Devin Walker of Elm Creek were third and fourth. Ivan DeMeet Ogg of Wilcox-Hildreth goes 20 feet 6 inches to win the boys' long jump. Bertrand's Jake Samuelson will join him at 19-4. Dominic Johns and Jeff West of Elm Creek finish third and fourth. And Sophie Melama of Axtell, Jaden Heckenlively of Alma win the top two spots in the girls' high jump. And that's going to wrap things up for us on today's Doug and Daddy Show. Any parting words, Randy?
Well, again, great soccer opportunities. Good luck to both Lexington and Hastings as they get together in Class B later tonight, as well as the Kearney High boys.
And the boys' shot just wrapped up here. Zach Edwards of Kennesaw wins it 52-1.5. Cody Nickel of Axtell is second, 47 feet and 9 inches in the boys' shot. And they go to state. Colin Rodenbaugh of Loomis and Dustin Rose of Axtell were third and fourth. Want to thank our guests today, Tammy Anderson, Kearney girls soccer coach, Dwayne Schmidt, Kearney Catholic track coach, Brady Bonsall, UNK track tomorrow, Dan Hartlib of the fifth-ranked baseball team in the country, Illinois, as they open their series with the Huskers tomorrow, plus Michelle Yu out at Santa Anita to give us a little analysis on this weekend's Preakness Stakes. For our producer-engineer, Caleb Henry, and for Randy Bushcutter, I'm Doug Duda saying keep it here. We'll have district track updates the rest of the day. Enjoy your day. This is the Doug and Daddy Show.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game.
Hey.